Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 9 of Being Cast, where I am trying desperately not to strangle my husband when he gets home, because once again, he is taking way too long. So, what's on the agenda for today? I promised you I had some big news, and the big news is that I finally received my freaky double treader wheel. I have been lusting after this wheel since October of 2006, when I got to spin on one at Rhinebeck. I mean, it just spins so smoothly and it treadles nice. It allows me to treadle in a way that's comfortable for me, because I figured that what it is that it's not just that I need a true double treadle where there are two footmen per treadle, you know, a footman per treadle, I should say, but rather it has to allow me to lift my toes up off the treadles. I noticed that I don't really heel toe it. I more like put the ball of my foot and my heel on the treadle as I treadle. And it's kind of like a cross between treadling and the full circle motion of bicycles, where your foot isn't really going, isn't seesawing, but it's more staying on a flat plane and going around in a circle vertically. So I'm sorry if I confuse any of you. Any physics majors would know what I'm understanding, would understand what I'm saying. Yes, I'm confused. So anyway, I got the wheel, and I've been spinning like a fiend on it. My knitting has really, really suffered because of that, but we'll get to that in a moment. Pros. One of the things that I liked about it was that it has a variety of ratios, all in one wheel. No extra flyers or bobbins or heads or whirls or anything of the nature. Just all five ratios from, 6-something to 19. You should shame. I should know this is my wheel, right? From 6 to 19 and change, all in one whirl. That's just great. I really like it. I keep hearing a little buzz about how maybe I could try the highest ratio, which is the 19 and change, to spin cotton, and my phone is ringing. I will be right back. Yep, that was him. Just finally called back after, you know, letting the boss know, you know, I need to speak to my husband. Can you please have him call me back? So what was I saying? Yeah, there's been buzz that you could spin cotton on the higher ratio. I'm really apprehensive about that, being that it's such short fibers. So I'm thinking of, you know, getting a wool cotton blend from somewhere and starting off with that. I don't really like to knit with pure cotton all that much, so I don't see the purpose in spinning it all that much either. Hi, we have a very special guest here. Her name is Ronnie. Say hi, Ronnie. Say hi, Ronnie. Say hi. Say hi. She's sitting here with her fingers in her mouth, smiling, looking at me like I have 18 heads. This is my little sugar boogers that I will be talking about, well, her sweater anyway, in a few. You okay, Mumi Moo? Yeah. You all right? Yeah. You want to say hi to mommy's friends? Yeah. Say hi.
Hi.
Say, I'm Ronica.
Hi, Ronica.
I'm three.
I love you.
You gotta wait, okay? Hold on a minute. Hold on, people. Here we go. Okay, she wanted cereal, so we got her cereal. Yeah, so, crap, where was I? So, yeah, I'm not too sure if I want to spin straight cotton, because I don't really knit with straight cotton that much. I mean, I've done, you know, many dishcloths and stuff like that, but that's about all I plan on using pure cotton for. It's just a pain to knit with, and I know there are people out there who say, oh, but you haven't knitted with this and this and that. Yeah, but that kind of precludes the whole purpose of spinning it myself. If I have to go out and buy someone's special cotton. I mean, really, you know? So, we're going to leave the cotton spinning off to the side for a bit. What else can I say? Other pros is, like I said, the treadling is just super smooth. It allows me to treadle in a way that's natural for my feet. And I was a little concerned about the orifice height, but my chair here is adjustable height, so I can adjust it just where I need it to be, just like that, just to get my knees at the proper position to treadle comfortably for an extended period of time. The cons. Yeah, there are some cons to the wheel. It doesn't fold. This one doesn't fold, but the single treadle folds. And I've managed to ply, spin and ply, actually, a little bit with just one foot on one treadle. But I suspect that treadling with the single treadle might be different because it's a bigger treadle. But in the future, maybe I will get a single treadle that folds and, you know, I'll be able to take it with me, you know, instead of having to, you know, take this contraption on the train with me. Hold on one second. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why it takes me forever to make podcasts, because unless I am asleep, everyone else is awake. Did that even make sense? But yeah, so yeah, that's a con. It doesn't fold. Lately, I've been having a little trouble with the thumb screw. The flyer assembles with the thumb screw on the flyer shaft, and there's a flat area on there that supposedly you're supposed to put the thumb screw flush with as you screw it in to hold the flyer in place. Every now and then it comes loose and the flyer almost falls off in my lap, but there's a pain. But other than that, I've been working with it and it's okay. It's just that's as easy as it makes assembling the flyer. I think it's a flaw. I really do. Other than that, I really don't have any complaints about Fricky. Or I should say Dutchie, because I named it the Flying Dutchman. But I call him Dutchie for short. I really don't, you know, I guess with every wheel, if you've had enough time with it, you'll love it for some reasons that you didn't realize about it. And you'll realize that there are things about it you don't really like. But I wouldn't trade this wheel in for the world. And not just because I'd be without a wheel if I did. I am in a position to get another wheel if I really, really, really wanted to. I don't know if my husband would appreciate it, but I could, you know, within reason. But I don't want to. I like this wheel a lot. It's not that heavy, although it is awkward to carry. But supposedly there is an option that I could avail to use, which would it's like a booster seat carrier or a booster seat cart, if you will, and it has wheels, like a big bag on wheels. And if you can fit a child's booster seat in there, considering the shape of this wheel, I'm pretty sure I could put this wheel in there. And at some point, I'm going to order one, and that's what I'm going to do with it. Just stuff it in there for storage and transportation. And that's pretty much it. I've already spun up several skeins of yarn with it, and I haven't yet really made anything with any of the yarn that I've spun just yet. Maybe a swatch here and there. I did practice Navajo plying, which I really couldn't get for the life of me. It turns out that I was doing something wrong. I was trying to Navajo ply where I was trying to hold the loop open with one hand and bring the singles through to form the next loop with the other hand. Bad move. You use one hand to smooth the yarn and hold it in place while you scoop through the hoop with the same hand that's holding the loop open, and pull it through. It's a hand finger action, all in one swoop. You don't have to move your hand out of the loop to get the singles to come up. The best position is to have your cape tensioned and have it like between your feet on the floor, if at all possible. See, the footprint of my wheel kind of makes that a little difficult because the treadles stick out at me instead of like a different type of wheel where the treadles are kind of like halfway under the wheel, like wheels like the traditional and the shacked Reeves and other, you know, they're not great wheels, but I say great wheel in terms of the shaping. You've got the wheel to the side and the flyer to the side and the treadles underneath, that type of thing. Which incidentally, the upright wheels that I have and things like the Kromsky Sonata and the Louis Victoria and the Shacked, they call those castle style wheels. I don't know what kind of fairy tales people have been reading, but whenever I saw a story about a castle, it had the kind of wheels that looked like the Astrid Traditional and the Kromsky Prelude, you know, those side-by-side type joints. So I don't know what kind of castle they were looking at, but that's the kind of, you know, setup I was thinking of. So getting the tension, Kate, between my feet is a bit of a problem because my chair is on wheels and they're in the way. So I kind of have to put it off to the side a little bit, as far back as I can get it. And it usually works for me. But no, I haven't really knit much with the yarns I've been spinning. I've been spinning and plying and just setting aside because I really have to get my knitting and get my regular stash down. I've still not decided what exactly I'm going to do with it. I have a sad problem with my stash. It is full of not very many skeins of anything. Like, of the things I have a lot of skeins of, it's yarn that turns out to be useless and that I can't seem to get anything made with it. I've knitted and unraveled and rewrapped balls over and over again. I have this Debbie Bliss wool cotton that I can't seem to do anything with. And, it's supposed to be like sport weight or DK weight. And I can't seem to do anything. Or fingering weight. Actually, it's fingering weight. Can you believe that? It looks kind of big. You think fingering weight, you think sock yarn. It's thicker than sock yarn, but it's very lightweight. And I can't bring myself to knit. I've got like 12 balls. I can't bring myself to try and knit a top out of it. Because it's like going to take forever. Because I'm not exactly a size 2. And I've got several other yarns that I have a lot of, but it's mostly like undyed sock yarn or something. Whereas all the stuff that I have that's in great colors and great weights, I don't have a whole lot of it. Even if it's different colors or the same yarn. And as a result, it's hard to come up with something substantial with these items. It's like, if I take a ball and I'll make a hat out of this one. And I'll have half the ball left. Hat is done, fits my big head, and half the ball is left. And that's just half the ball. I mean, I've got 5 of them. What am I going to make 5 of the same hat? You know what I'm saying? I really didn't plan when it came to buying my stash. I did a lot of impulse buying, a lot of, ooh, this is pretty, and it's on sale. You know, a lot of, I think I'll make this pattern, and then I turned out not to, and wound up saying, okay, I'll use the yarn for something else. Like that W. Bliss wool cotton, I bought it, and without any intentions other than it was going out of business, you know, it was being discontinued. I don't know why I bought that color. At least I could have did was maybe dye it another interesting color or something. That way maybe I'd want to do something with it. But it's a dark olive green. I don't know what I was thinking. I have about 6-7 balls of this purple wool acrylic blend that I was supposed to be making a hooded vest out of an Interweave magazine from like 2 years ago or something like that. The thing is, it was supposed to have a different yarn, but the yarn was so new that you couldn't find it anywhere yet. And it was expensive. So I decided to substitute something I found on Elan.com, and I haven't even used it. I tried knitting the pattern with it. It didn't work. I tried knitting something else with it. It didn't. I don't know. I wish I could take this stash to the city and lay it out on the street and just let people pick through it and pay for it, you know? But, yeah, I know people say, oh, eBay, Etsy, Etsy's for homemade stuff. eBay, Freecycle, Craigslist, Swap It. Trust me, nobody wants this mess. If I don't want to, yes, it will, somebody wants it. You got people out there who can't use wool. Well, I don't have any stuff that's not wool that I want to get rid of. Most of my stuff I want to keep. So I really, you know, I have tons of sock yarn. I don't know why. I don't have no business trying to spin sock yarn. Because I got a crap load of it already, you know, commercially made, sitting there. I had an addiction. It's called buying stuff. Knitting related. I really need to bone up on my needle collection. That's what I need to do. So I can knit stuff. You know what I'm saying? Some people think that there's a problem with having, you know, 4 or 5 of the same needle size. Not if they're different lengths. You'd be surprised what you could use. You could use a 47-inch, a 40-inch, everything down to a 16-inch. I don't really mess with 16-inches too much, just for the record, but it's there. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know when you need a needle to hold stitches, or if you have to tink back to a certain row, it's good to have 2. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you the story about size 7 double-pointeds. There once was a set of 7, size 7 U.S. double-pointeds. Clover needles. I was working on something and put the project down for a while. I think because I ran out of yarn. Anyway, somebody got a hold of it and one needle went missing. After, you know, that, I didn't pick up the project again. I said, well, crap, one of the needles is missing. I prefer to have five needles. And so I really wasn't interested in working on it. And then again, it was a project with dyed yarn. So I wasn't really in a position to try and replicate the color. I couldn't even remember what I used. It was Kool-Aid. I couldn't even remember what I used to get the color. So it sat more. And one day I was rummaging through my stash and, you know, whips and, you know, UFOs and everything. And said, you know, let me go ahead and replace this set now before I need it. And then, you know, realize that I'm missing a needle. Because that's what happened. I needed to get the needles replaced. So I said, let me go ahead and get a set. So I bought another size 7 set of 5 needles, clover needles, and put them aside. I said, this way, when I have a project that needs this size, I'll be ready. Then one day, I finally find a project that could use the size 7s. I swatched on a circular because it was handy, and I said, okay, but it starts on double pointeds. Let me get the double pointeds. I called myself remembering that I had a set that was not complete, but forgetting I did buy another set to replace it, went to the store and bought another set. So now I have 2¾ of a set of size 7 double pointed needles. And the last pair were Crystal Palace needles. Can you believe that? I mean, god damn it. I said, yo, here I call myself being slick and remembering. That's all I remembered, was that I had a set with some missing. I forgot that I'd actually gone ahead and made the effort to replace the set. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It came in handy, because I'm working on Wonderful Wallaby, which is a sweater for my littlest one. It is a hooded sweater, and it's made such that you put everything on in process. It's in the round, and as you go, you stop a minute to put the pocket on, and then you stop halfway through the body and start the sleeves. And these extra sets came in handy because I was able to start a sleeve. It said put the stitches on a holder. I was like, hell no, I hate trying to get stitches off of holders. I hate trying to get stitches off of spare yarn. So I left it on the set, picked up the other set, and started the other sleeve right away. No sleeve island, no second sleeve syndrome, none of that. I was like, this is great. This is why it's good to have that spare set. Because you never know when you need to do both sleeves at the same time and you don't have a size 7 long enough to do magic loop. Actually, I do have a 40-inch size 7. I think it's in the middle of something, so I don't have it available to me. But I'm considering the way the sleeves were made, it would have worked better on double pointed anyway. So I'm glad I had the extra set of double pointed. So Wonderful Wallaby is almost done. I am on the yoke and neck area decreases, or shoulder area decreases. Sort of like a faux raglan, but not quite. And I'm probably going to do a garter stitch hood. I don't think I'm going to do a stocking in that stitch hood. I might not. I'm still working on the neck decreases right now. One of the other projects that's been in the whips pile forever is the quilted lace knee socks. I finally finished one, everybody. I finally finished one. And unfortunately, it doesn't stay up as well as I would have liked. And you know, as big as my calves are, you think my big leg would hold it up. Nope. So I'm going to have to sew some elastic on the inside of the ribbing. It's all right. It won't hurt. I'll probably take another year and a half to do that. But it works so far. So now I'm on the second one. Actually, I was doing them two at a time for a long time. So all I have left really is the top ribbing on the second sock, which is about half done. And then I will do a sewn bind off to get it off the needles. And then I'll just get some elastic and sew it in the ribbing, and that'll hold them up. I can't wait to get my short skirts out. What am I talking about? I don't have any short skirts. I'm going to get some, not short, but just where you can see that I have knee socks, because I want to be able to show them off. I know I promised people that there would be a pattern. I'm not really a pattern writing type. Sometimes I'll get halfway through a pattern and don't realize it's an error, a blatant error. So I'm not really in a position to make a pattern, because if there are any errors, you people are going to come after me, and I really don't want that happening. So all I can tell you is it's basically a stockinette stitch sock, just a regular sock, and all I did was take a stitch pattern I found on the internet, and you can find them anywhere on the internet, in stitch pattern books, anything, Barbara Walker books, whatever, and altered the stitch count, because I usually work a 56 stitch sock, anywhere from 56 to 64 inch stitches around, and just swatch to make sure that you have the right, you know, the right fit for your foot. I wouldn't try this for someone else. Just start on yourself first. And once you're comfortable with sock knitting, then you can start to experiment. Because basically that's all I did. It's just an experiment. I'm sorry I don't have a pattern for you. Sorry. I'm just not the pattern writing type. I probably don't remember everything I did. And couldn't duplicate it myself if I tried. So that's also in the WIPs and almost to be finished pile. I'm right now thinking up something to do with some of my hand spun. I've got these oddball skeins that aren't really big enough to do anything with, and I really don't know, because it's starting to get warm. That's the problem when you learn to spin and really get into the groove of spinning as it's starting to get warm, because then you got all this wool you've spun up and you can't really wear it once it gets warmer. Yeah, we're about to get some snow this weekend, so it's not going to be totally, you know, summer yet. But I'm loath to make a hat and scarf set when it's about to warm up, you know? We've got a really, really big party to go to in a couple of weeks. And we'll probably all get new spring jackets just for the occasion. Because winter coats, I mean, it probably won't even be cold enough. Not summer. You'll need something on the arms. But, you know, and long sleeve shirts and tops. But I don't think we need that winter down coat business. I hope not. If not, I'm a cry. But, yeah, that's what's been going on with the spinning and the knitting. Like I said, hand-spun projects in the works. I've been experimenting with my hand carders. Excuse me, not my hand carders. I know, Val, sorry. I just co-opted your hand carders. I've got hold of some hand carders, and I've been carding up some mystery wool. And I got some icicle nylon. So what I'm doing is I'm going to keep on carding it out and trying my best to blend the fibers. I actually spun up a little bit. I just finished plying it. It feels a little bit rough here. Maybe it just needs the twist set. Maybe I've got too much sparkle fiber. Maybe the wool isn't all that great. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just use that to accent some socks, rather than to make entire socks out of them. I don't think the sparkle fiber is ideal for entire items, or rather, not for socks, not for them. Like I said, I'm gonna take this off the bobbin and set it and see how that works, and you'll hear about it in the next episode. What else is going on? I apologize for not having episode 9 as it was intended, which was to have a bunch of nitties from New York City in on the fun. It didn't come out in the processing well. I don't know, maybe some sounds were added or something, but between the subway noise and this strange humming that just wouldn't go away no matter what I did, I had to scrap the episode. So I'm sorry, Tanya, Karen, Val, Nancy, But maybe next time it'll work out for the better. I guess that's pretty much it for this episode. If you have any questions, you can email me at ladybean@gmail.com, or you can hit my blog at ladybean73.wordpress.com and leave a comment. I'm still working on the WIPs, and I think I'd like to get them a little bit closer to finished before I post the next blog post. So look forward to that. And I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.